Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The interesting thing about light is that it's needed in order to see. Light exposes all the things that the dark hides. It brings truth to areas that are hidden or shrouded in falsehood. John's job was to bear witness about the light and to let everybody know that the light was coming soon. John himself was like a rooster crowing at the sunrise. The Son of God, who is the light of the world, was about to burst onto the scene, and John was preparing the people. Now, light can be two things to those that it shines upon. First, for those who long to see the light, it is a very glorious thing. If you loathe the darkness and you want to see things clear and sober, then the light, it is what you long for. If you are in the midst of fear and you have all sorts of questions and angst, the light makes things clear and you can see. But the second thing the light is, it is something negative for those who do not want to be exposed. Light is very threatening and scary if you want to hide. For those who love to hide their deeds in the dark, they are afraid that if the light comes, everyone will know the truth of their shame. So they long for the darkness to remain, that they may hide in its shadows. Our Old Testament lesson describes John's and the jobs of all prophets in this way. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." These are the people that long for the light. The ones with broken hearts that long for something more. The people that are wrapped in the shackles, longing to be free. This is part of John's message. It is to proclaim the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, for those who long for the light, this is the day that they have been waiting for. It is the day of freedom. But the second part of the light's job is to proclaim the day of the vengeance of our God. For all who recognize their need for a Savior to deliver them from their darkness, the message of John was the best possible news that they could hear. That is why they came out in droves into the wilderness, gathered around him, wanting to hear a message of hope. But for all of those who were secure in their own sin and portrayed a false self-righteousness, for those who love the darkness, John's message, it was a message of God's vengeance. If we hate our sin, the light has come to expose it and to set us free by the one who would die to make our freedom a reality. But if we love our sin, the light still comes. But it comes to expose. It comes to expose and destroy that sin as well. But if we are holding on to our sin and do not want to let it go, we get destroyed along with it. It's like the person is holding on to something that's not going to last. They bind themselves unto it, and they become that very thing that gets destroyed. Sin and the causes of sin will not be in heaven. They will be destroyed on that last day. We want to say, Lord, here it is, take it out. I want to let it go, but I can't. Operate on me. We don't want to say, Lord, there's nothing here to take away. We don't want to hide it from Him. I had a member of my family who would refuse to go to a doctor. Refused. As if this thing that whatever was ailing him would just go away. He did not want it to be exposed. And it never was. And he died along with whatever that sickness was. He was bound to die sometime, but I'm sure with medicine or something he could have gotten a little extra time. Where do you stand today? Would John's message be welcome to you? Do you want the Lord to search your inmost heart and to see if there's any wicked way in you that He can remove it? Do you long for Him to come and meet you to take away your sin? Or are you at a point in your life where you don't want to give up this sin? You instead want to keep it. Instead, you're trying to justify why your particular sin, well, it's not really sin at all. Many people came out to John. They were eager to hear about the light that was coming into the world. They confessed the darkness of their sin and received a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, being baptized by John in the rivers of Jordan, in the river Jordan. But there was also a group of people that came out to meet John that did not want God's light to shine in their hearts. I forget which gospel it is, but it says they rejected God's will for their lives by rejecting John's baptism. It's not that they had any crazy outward sin, these Pharisees and Sadducees. They didn't. Most of them appeared to be holy. In fact, really holy people. But inside, they were proud. They were proud about how religious they were. They were proud about that they knew all of these Bible verses. Through their religion, they wanted people to look up to them. They wanted other people to say, I could never be as holy as he is. He prays 5 times a day. He never does anything wrong. He knows all the Psalms by heart. Are you proud of your church attendance or how much you read the Bible? Don't answer that. That's a trick question. But these guys were. And they did not want a Savior. Here's what they wanted. They still wanted Jesus to come. They wanted the Messiah to come. But what they wanted is that when the Messiah arrived, for Him to put His arm around them and say, wow, you guys have been awesome. It's like I didn't even need to come at all. That's how great you are. Is there anything I can do to help you? That's what they wanted. They did not want the Messiah to come and for them to have to repent. For them to have to say, I have sinned, I cannot do it without you. If the light were to truly shine on their inside, it would have shown things like this: conceit, arrogance, disdain for people that weren't like them. If the light would have shined on the inside, it would have proved that they couldn't do it on their own. It would have proved that they were not as independent as they thought they were. None of us are independent, and none of us have all the answers. If someone were to admire our church attendance, we should say something like my father-in-law used to say, I don't attend church because I'm good. I attend church because I need Jesus. John himself even knew that he needed someone else. He knew that he didn't have it all together. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed. And he did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They said, well, then are you Elijah? He says, no. Now we know from Scripture, Jesus confirmed that he was the Elijah. But to John, he was a nobody. In fact, he says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. John's identification was, I am not the Christ. In fact, I'm not even important at all. He was just letting everybody know that was someone was coming. Someone so great, he wasn't even worthy to untie his sandals. Now I want you to think about this. What he is saying is this person is the one who is in the Holy of Holies. He is the one that the prophet Isaiah saw who could do nothing but fall to the ground in front of. He is the one that Ezekiel saw that made him drop to the ground. He wouldn't even think of being on his face before him to reach out that hand to touch his foot. He's not even that worthy. He's not even that worthy to approach God. John's message was Jesus. Nothing about him. That's what our message should be. Likewise, if someone thinks that you have it all together, you can tell them honestly that you don't. You can tell them, as John did, look, I can't save anybody. And no one can be saved by imitating the things I do and say. The only one that can save you is the one who saved me through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It is freeing to admit that you are a sinner saved by grace. Imagine the illusion that the Pharisees and Sadducees had to keep up. They couldn't let anybody really get to know them, to know their faults, because their religiosity was based on the praise of men, not on being honest and open before the light. They had so many dark places to hide. We don't want to be like that. And here's the amazing thing about Jesus. John noted that Jesus was so great that he wasn't even worthy to stoop down and reach out his hand to touch his feet. Jesus is so beyond this world. He's the creator of all things. And yet, he is Yahweh in the flesh. He is holy. John recognized this. But like I was saying, even though he is all this, he submitted, as you can see in that picture, to being held by his mother. He submitted to all of the most humiliating things that we submit to. People serving us. And then when he was at his moment of glory, he stooped down and reached out his hand and touched the feet of his disciples. They're not worthy to touch his feet, and here he is on his hands touching theirs, washing them. They should have been laying down their lives for him, jumping in front of him to take a bullet, so to speak. Yet he is the one who jumps in front of God's wrath and sin's accusation and takes the bullet for us. He is the one who lays down his life for us. He is the one who says, "Take, eat. This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you." We are not worthy to touch his feet, yet he lays down his life for us. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light that no darkness can overcome. He is light that comes to save. My prayer for everyone is that we would not run from the light, but instead that we would receive the light with thanksgiving. It may hurt to show those dark spots in your life, but he's not surprised by them. He's seen worse. He's carried worse to the cross. He's carried that particular sin to the cross. We want to be people of thanksgiving, people that rejoice. Quoting Isaiah, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation." Baptismal reference. The light does not come to bring harm. He comes to set us free. And the church says, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until he returns for you. Amen.